When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Tip of the Tower podcast, and we can now officially start now that I have unmuted my microphone. That was a fantastic way to start a podcast. My goodness. I'm like, do these guys even hear me? Because I think I like said a couple things, and I'm like...
Let me set the mood here. Jake and I were just having a conversation for about 20 minutes, and I managed to mention the Dave I hadn't heard in about that time. And Dave conveniently realized he was on mute and... thought we were just ignoring him for 20 minutes straight.
You guys did a pretty good job, even regardless.
We did a good job of ignoring you, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, gentlemen, the Leafs lose another game.
I apologize.
Well, I don't know if you'd mean it even if you were apologizing.
I would.
All right. So, Leafs lose another game. So, they're terrible now.
Yeah, we suck. Man. We're going to regret trading away that pick to the Carolina Hurricanes. Do and do. You already know there's somebody on Twitter that's just thrown that gem out again.
Yep, probably.
Lost like the first game after the Muzzin trade. That was like half my Twitter feed.
So let's go through what just happened. So the Leafs had a lead. So they gave up the first goal of the game. A real... holy crap, what a terrible goal for Freddie to give up. Pretty much a half clapper from above the faceoff dot. About that?
Yep, right, that's about right.
And then, you know, the Leafs score two ridiculous goals to go up 2-1.
And the first one more ridiculous in a different sense than the second one.
I mean, the first one, just the Spezza... intuitive for him to tip that in out of the air, and then for Goat to actually make something of it was...
Goat just pounded that thing into the back of the net.
That was an accomplishment of itself, that Goat actually pounded that in.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then, okay. Let's admire that Nylander play. Because that was...
I'm sorry. Say those words again?
Let's admire that Nylander play.
Just take out that and play. Let's just admire William Nylander for a second. He was the best goddamn player on the ice for the Maple Leafs.
He played very well. I think it's a little over the top, some of the praise he's gotten, but I think he's been very good.
He's at a point per game this season. There's nothing you can complain about with him right now.
No.
Unless you're really nitpicking, which a lot of people on Twitter
do. A lot of people are. Yeah. But... I think it goes both ways. A lot of people are nitpicking, and a lot of people are pushing him a little too hard.
And like I've
seen some people that are just like, "Oh, greatest player ever." Oh, never complain about that contract.
It's a little over the top.
It's like, all right, you know, maybe we can meet in the middle.
Your counter argument to somebody not liking Nylander doesn't have to be liking everything he does.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah, it's just I like Nylander.
You can nitpick certain things, but you can also love certain things.
Yeah, he had some bad plays tonight, a couple.
But today was his good. Was a good night for him. Obviously, had a great goal.
That tuck is silly.
That was really, really nice play. Really, I can't believe CeCe was the one that made that pass. Yeah. That was ridiculous to me.
The Leafs passing was ridiculous tonight in general. That Matthews breakaway in the first period, or partial break, where he didn't score, that pass by Johnsson right off the tape was great.
The McKayle goal on the shorthanded. The Leafs had their chances to win that game.
Yeah, they did.
Bennington was very good.
A very big reversal from last year where they got absolutely pumped by St. Louis early in the season. I don't know if you guys remember that or if that's been etched out of your memory.
St. Louis?
No, the one in Toronto.
I don't remember that one.
Oh, I don't either. Buddy.
They lost, like, badly? I know they
wasn't Nashville.
I remember last year in St. Louis, they got, like, their shit kicked in.
No, they came back in that game and lost in overtime.
Didn't they lose, like, 6-2 or something like that?
No, I think it was even worse than that. Let me pull up the reference, because I know it was early in the season.
We like playing the Blues early on, eh?
You know, as unpredictable as the NHL schedule is, it can be pretty predictable.
It's just so stupid. Like, the Leafs are always going to open against Ottawa or Montreal, as they should.
Well, it wasn't as bad as I thought. It was 4-1.
Oh.
In Toronto?
In Toronto.
Yeah, that's why I thought you were... It was just a complete...
Well, okay, so it was really bad because the Leafs were not very good for a large part of that game.
Oh, okay, so they just played badly. They didn't get pumped.
Yeah, like... The Leafs didn't score until the third period. St. Louis scored 3 goals in the second period.
Oh, I think I sort of remember that game.
Zach Sanford scored a goal.
Yep. Yeah, I do remember that game.
Hold on. These are the goal scorers, the first two of the game. You had Bortuzzo, Sanford, then you had Ryan O'Reilly, and then you had a shorthanded empty netter by Ivan Barbashev.
Ivan?
Yeah, that's
Ivan Barbashev. Okay, so I just fucked up his name. And sorry, I just swore for that one. But I've been pissed off at the fact that...
It would be nice if you got it right.
Yeah, okay. Ilya Mikheyev.
Yep, that's right. Mickey.
Sounds right.
Ladies and gentlemen, anybody who thinks it's Mikheyev should go listen. So this is what happened. It really bothers me when last names are pronounced incorrectly when you have a guide that tells you how it's supposed to be pronounced and you have an opportunity to talk with the player to find out as well. Sometimes...
I knew it because I remember the Sportsnet interview with Dan Milstein.
That was exactly what I was pointing. I'm like, okay, I've heard his name before. People have been saying Mikheyev all summer long. All of a sudden, Hockey Night in Canada... Ilya Mikheyev. I'm like, what is going on? It's so annoying. Some people may think I'm crazy. Fine. It wouldn't be the first time. But it bothers me so much to hear. It's like, it's not an A. It's not an I. It's not a Y. There's an E before the Y. It's clearly Mikheyev. I had to even message. I literally texted Steve Dangle and I said, they're pronouncing it wrong, right? I'm not going crazy. He's like, no, they're pronouncing it wrong, because he's the one that did the interview.
Yes, he did.
So
with one of my favorite NHL agents. I love Dan Milstein.
He lost Artemi Panarin.
Did he really?
Yeah, Panarin changed agents.
Bobrovsky though, right?
No, he went with Bobrovsky's agent.
Yeah, he went to Bobrovsky's. Okay, I didn't know that. Damn, that kind of sucks.
That does suck. Right before he signed the contract.
No commission.
So that was a terrible... No
commission on a top 5 contract in the NHL. That's going
to
stay.
Oh, wow. Did you know Nemestikov got traded to Ottawa?
I was about to bring that one up. So, actually, this is part of the reason why maybe Jake didn't hear me, because with the news, I literally went, hey, Jake, did you hear the Rangers made a trade?
All the news on us pre-podcast, and it just... Missed it.
Good thing we weren't recording, because I would have had... I would have had an idea because the levels wouldn't have shown for me, but thank God.
Jake and I would have had a great conversation.
No, because you guys just would have realized Dave's not saying anything. Yeah, he was traded to Ottawa, I think, for like... I don't know what he was traded for. All I know is I think this was a salary move, potentially.
I think it was
a Nemestikov's pretty good.
Oh, it was a draft pick in Nick Ebert.
Nick Ebert? Oh. He played with me.
Yeah, he was an old Windsor guy, I remember.
Yeah, he also played for the North Jersey Avalanche in New Jersey.
Damn.
Well, there you go, Jake.
Rangers bringing some Jersey flavor home.
Yeah, exactly. He'll never make the team, but I love Dmitry Filipovich. In 2017-18 season, Vlad Nemestikov's three most common line mates were Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, and Victor Hedman. Now he's on the Senators.
Yikes.
Oy. Oy vey.
Pour one out.
Holy. He probably said that when he heard the trade. Oy vey.
Yeah, really.
Okay, since we're on the topic of the Rangers, because it was somewhat related to me, Rangers, wow, Mika Zibanejad. If you haven't,
they look pretty good.
If you haven't seen on NHLPA.com, I did nominate him for NHL Player of the Week. A couple of interesting stats about his 8 points in 2 games.
That's pretty good.
That has not been done. The last time that's been done in the NHL was in 95-96 by Jágr.
Yeah. I mean, he
had a pretty good career, from what I recall.
He's a good player. I mean, I know they were doing a bunch of stories on him because he obviously plays for the Rangers now, but he completely changed his nutrition when he moved from Ottawa to New York. And I mean, it completely tells. I remember he did an interview at the U.S. Open in August where he was talking about how nutrition and a completely different diet changed everything, like his weight, his speed, his personality, and everything. And I mean, that's cool. That's cool to see, and it's obviously been working for him. He looks like he's going to be the guy that everybody thought he would be when he was drafted. Because he was taken, like, fifth or sixth. Wasn't he taken right before...
Seventh, I think.
No, sixth overall in 2011.
Oh, shit. You are right. I apologize.
I wrote the article, so I should know that. 2011.
Who did the Leafs pick that year?
That's Tyler Biggs' year, I believe.
Oh, my God. No. Was Biggs the year before
Riley? Biggs was 2010,
Was that the Surpris?
That was a pretty the goat, was it?
No, he was 2013 because they took Nylander the year after.
Let's see.
Because that was the Domi draft.
Remember, we had the two straight years of no number one picks.
That was not the year.
I'm going to go out and say it was 2011.
Oh, it was Biggs. Biggs
and Percy. Because 2012, did we not have a pick? Is that right?
No, 2012 was Riley.
No, 2010 and 2009 we didn't. Those are the two picks that went to Boston, because Sagan was 2009.
Oh, yeah.
Or 2010.
Sagan was 2010, and then Hamilton was...
Oh, yeah, Hamilton was this draft. I guess, the Leafs got two picks. They got...
Yes.
They got one... Wasn't that the Cabrillet trade?
Yeah. They got Colburn.
And then they traded Cody Franzen, I think.
Or Versteeg.
Or whatever.
Versteeg.
But they got two shit players out of that. That was pretty sad. I remember that. Yeah, they traded up.
Yeah.
They traded up to get...
Would have had Raquel.
Oh, that trade. Yeah, the Raquel John Gibson.
Yep.
Boy, good old Bob Murray putting a good one to Brian Burke there, eh?
Yeah, the dumbest man in hockey.
Well, let's just say there have been some takes on the Leafs the last few days. Okay, let's before we get into Saturday night's debacle, let's discuss tonight. Let's just put a bow on tonight. The Leafs could have easily won this game.
They should. They deserved to.
They did. They outshot St. Louis. They had the better chances overall. Some bad luck that, I mean, look, if luck doesn't go your way, it doesn't go your way. You make your own luck. That's how I think. And they could have easily won. Look, even with a 2-1 lead, that's a winnable game. Like, I know people.
Yeah.
Steve Simmons literally tweeted out, like, I didn't like the two goals Freddie let in, but it's really hard to win when you allow two goals. Well, if you're winning 2-1, that's still a winnable hockey game. You have to just learn how to lock it down. Like, every other team that plays the Leafs and wins 2-1,
there's been a possible significant stretch where the Leafs have just been hemmed in every single game they've played this season.
That's every team, though. It's not like it's like there was a shift. There was a shift where St. Louis got absolutely battered. They just ended up weathering the storm and getting away with it.
Mm. Yeah, it happens to everyone. It's just like the Columbus game's the one that stood out for me in the third period of the Montreal game, where the Leafs just couldn't clear their zone.
Yeah,
and so that's where it came back to bite them. Columbus, they got away with it. That was the first 5 minutes where they just got blitzed, and then they won still.
This is what I will say. The Leafs did a good job responding tonight to what happened on Saturday, but it's still like disappointing to lose a game that you know you should have won. You know, all right, we've avoided it. We're 13 minutes into the podcast. Sorry, now we're about close to 15 minutes into the podcast. Let's bring up the Saturday night game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness.
Okay, so good start. Third line looked really good. I think they've been one of my favorite lines of the season. They've been the most consistent line, I think.
Mikheyev is a point per game up until tonight.
Yeah, Mikheyev
is more at over a point per game, I'm pretty sure. Kerfoot's been a little snake bit, but
he's still. I just like that. Even if Kerfoot's not scoring, he's doing other
things. The other two are flying.
Yeah. So I like the third line. Auss Matthews is ridiculous, as we've known forever.
Yeah, Carey Price is a very good goalie, but he always makes him look very dumb.
Yeah, especially on that that tying goal. Like, you saw as soon as it was going to Matthews that thing was going in. And look, Carey Price was in total holy crap, just get my body in front of it mode. Matthews did not have a lot to shoot at.
He never does.
No, like, Matthews always finds that one hole that nobody saw. Like, even that the first goal he scored, where he literally just snapped it in the slot. You give that guy time and space, he's getting a good chance to score. Like,
did you see the... Oh, God, sorry.
No, the only thing I wanted to bring up is that Matthews right now is in that zone where every time the puck is on his stick and he has a clear lane to shoot, or a not-so-clear lane to shoot, that thing has got a good chance of going in. That's where the feeling is right now.
Do you see Jeff O'Neill's thing that he broke down of Matthews, how long he holds onto the puck for?
No, I didn't. I had the NHL Network feed, so I couldn't. So
there's a graphic on the TSN broadcast, because basically O'Dog set it up as, like, Matthews, he's run out of stuff to talk about how great his shot is. So O'Dog just goes, breaks down how long he's had the puck on his stick for every single goal he's had this year, and it's been a combined 1.36 seconds or something.
Yeah, he just snaps that puppy away.
Yeah, the longest one was the goal against Columbus, and it was still under a second.
That's how you got to score goals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before they even set up.
Goalies are too good at getting into position when they have time. Like.
Yeah.
So, yes, I like the way that Matthews has been. The one line that, I mean, the fourth line that's been a rotating thing, we'll get to that in a second. The top line.
Yeah.
Not what I was expecting to start the season. I didn't think Zach Hyman's absence was going to have this much of an impact in terms of...
Kapanen's been really struggling on
that. I think it's more how Kapanen plays than it is Hyman's absence.
Because he has to play off his offside.
Yeah.
And he's not doing well with it.
Not only that, that line defensively has been on the ice for some very questionable goals, especially against Montreal. that was like defensively that line was not bad last year. Like they were the line that went up against Bergeron, like the top Bruins top line in the playoffs. And
yeah, well, they actually held their own outside of the
game
power
two.
Play.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's part of it has to do with Kapanen trying to adjust to the off wing, but I don't know how much longer that is going to last. If they're not looking that good defensively, and if they're struggling to get something going offensively. Like I said earlier, I don't like the idea of breaking up a line that's doing really well in that third line, but if that top line continues to struggle, like Babcock can't let it continue like that.
No. When is he back? Is it November?
Hyman? Yeah, he's back. He's missing the first month.
He's skating with the team, but he's not going to be back.
He's missing like the first at least 15 games max.
Yeah.
And Dermott was skating during the preseason, but
I wonder where Kapanen would go.
So this is the thing I'm wondering too. Like Trevor Moore deserves to stay.
There's no way you could move Trevor or Mikheyev down.
I don't know how you can break up that line.
No, they've been ridiculous.
Like, the fourth line, geez. Even, no one on that fourth line has been able to. I mean, Babcock is doing his rotation. I don't know if that's where Kapanen goes, but if that's where he's going to go.
If he's relegated to the fourth line at that point,
I know what you're saying.
He can't play a fourth line role, but I don't want to be the one to say it.
To trade him?
Like it's either he or Hyman, because Hyman's got a similar contract, but Babcock loves him, so.
Well, the thing is just like Kapanen's contract is so good that it could actually fetch you something. Yep. But the question is, you're selling it at a low point, so I know why you wouldn't want to do it. But yeah, something that's going to be. It's going to be a decision that's not going to be well received, whether it's someone being sent down or somebody that's being moved that should be moved.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, look, the Montreal game, what annoyed me was obviously the Kapanen play. Let's talk about that for a second. Because never in my life, I have seen guys throw sticks in the stands.
I mean, yep.
We've seen that before.
Oh, yeah.
Alfredson, or he faked to do it, right?
So Sundin did it, then Alfredson mocked him by pretending to do it, that he was going to do it.
Right.
So I don't know. Jake, I've never played professional hockey. I've never played a high enough level of hockey. I haven't played really much hockey to know what goes through your mind at that point. What do you think could have possibly been going in his mind to make him do that?
No idea. I mean, it's like really clear. That's probably the one rule that everybody knows. If you get rid of your stick, if you don't like just drop it on the ground immediately, if you play with it, it's a penalty. If you throw your stick at anybody, it is an automatic penalty shot. I knew that because I've seen it happen before. I've seen it happen one time in my life where a kid threw his stick at someone on a breakaway. And he ended up not even hitting his stick, but he still got called for a penalty shot, and they scored.
Was it an empty net?
No, it wasn't an empty net. No, it's just he just threw it. I mean, I think he didn't know the rule, but yeah, I mean, it's inexcusable play. I mean, in the end, Freddie's got to stop that, or Hutchinson's got to stop that. You got fucking Jeff Petrie, like he's not deking you.
Yeah,
but I mean, it was a good shot. I mean, he went like I think low blocker, but I mean, it's just it kind of sucks. Kind of sucks how that happened, and then the fact that it had to go to a stupid
shootout,
which is just the worst.
It's basically just an L for the Leafs as soon as they go to a shootout.
I've been saying this for the last ever since the shootout was put in place. The Leafs at one point were good at it when they had JVR and Bozak.
And JVR were studs in the shootout.
Yeah, Bozak was amazing.
So that, I think, is all that needs to be said about the shootout. That no offense to Tyler Bozak, but if you're one of the better players on a team that has Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, like that type of talent, there's something wrong with that. That should not be how hockey games are decided. I've said that for Olympics, because that's happened before. I've said that for World Juniors, and Canada was a recipient of a gold medal in a shootout. If you don't, and have lost a gold medal in a shootout as well. I've been saying it for soccer or football. I'll go both ways on that one. It is the dumbest way to end a hockey game. Because, look, when they go really long, yeah, there's some nerves there, of course. But all it just shows is that some guys are good at a skill competition.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically like the NBA doing a dunk contest.
Yeah, or a three-point contest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't see the NBA saying, all right, guys, you couldn't get done overtime, so we're doing a three-point competition. No, you don't get it in overtime. You either keep playing or you tie.
I'd rather tie at that point. I mean, it's just very annoying.
Like, I don't.
Both team gets 1 point.
Neither team should deserve a point if you can't win in overtime, especially if
they should just do. They should just do like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
I wonder what the rate is for players for games ending in overtime since 3-on-3 started. I think it was like 30% more or something along those lines.
I'd have
to be up with all the odd man's that.
But yeah, it was a great idea, 3-on-3. People were even calling for longer. There's been arguments that, then the players, you know, that'd be more taxing on the players. Well, guess what? When players get exhausted during game, they make mistakes, and that usually leads to goals. So you get your deserved result. If you can't keep your team fresh enough for 10 minutes of 3-on-3. So, I will credit the Canadians for battling back. I will not credit Max Domi or any of the fans thinking that they've pretty much won anything significant out of that game. Because we've seen that. Let's talk about that for a second. Look, I've chirped people when the Leafs have beat... No, I know a couple of Habs fans, and I've chirped them when the Leafs beat them, but I don't go to the level of, like, oh, you guys had a complete meltdown. Well, first off, it wasn't a meltdown because you guys were up 5-4. The Habs are up 5-4. Matthews scores to tie it. So that's not a meltdown if you respond in some way.
4-1, pretty bad.
Yeah,
it's bad. Okay. Like, there's really no way to sugarcoat a 4-1 lead should be the safest lead in hockey, but to the Leafs, it's like voodoo, and it's not. No, like the Leafs.
Well, it's happened to a bunch of teams even this year. I mean, the Devils were up 4-0 in the first period.
Yep, it's happened to many teams. It's, I don't know. It's a mentality from certain players that, especially early on the season, where they're like, okay, we're up, we can kind of take it easy.
Yeah, it's exactly what it was. Is they took a couple shifts off, and the Habs got momentum, and they carried it.
Yeah. So, let's look. Oh, actually, and I brought this up in our group chat. Habs fans, remember last year when the Habs went up 3-0 in the first period, and everyone was just like, oh, there's those Leafs? Because the Leafs were doing really bad at that time, and then the Leafs answered with 6 straight goals.
Yeah, it happened. What?
When was that?
Last year at home.
Yeah, at the ACC. They came back.
6 straight.
It was
that same Max Domi that was chirping and laughing at the Leafs bench was slumped over, crying.
He's just a loser.
Okay,
he's a clown.
I'm going to bring it up because I'm going to bring up the photo I sent. Where is it?
What, the video of him apparently verbally demolishing Kasperi Kapanen with one of the weakest chirps I've ever heard in my life.
What did he say? He's like, nice job or something?
Nice job, Kapanen, you effing moron. Way to go, you effing moron. And everyone's like, oh, he killed him!
Killed him!
Get the body bag! Max got him! No.
It's like me saying, you're ugly.
The best chirp I heard last year was Nazem Kadri, and it's because they caught it on air when he told Chase Hauerluck that it was a new career high, 7 goals, and that was good for him. Great chirp. Oz got him.
All right, Jake, I found the game. It was February 23rd. Okay. The Leafs were down 3-0, so Andrew Shaw, Thomas Tatar, and Jeff Petrie all scored in the first period.
They won 6-3.
Matthews and his...
I remember they won that game, but I thought they won overtime.
They scored four goals in the third.
That was the one where Tavares was in Kapanen and were egging them on from the bench, where Tavares said he couldn't hear them.
Yeah, I remember. Jesus, I didn't remember now, that, though.
In fairness, two of the goals were empty net goals.
Still counts.
They scored four straight, like, two on the power play in the second period. Matthews and Ennis. And then Nylander scored his fourth goal of the season. Remember that
right,
one?
Right, okay, now I remember it.
Hyman and then Janssen and Hyman.
So, good times.
Yeah, so Habs fans, before you really start to go, like, teams have blown three-goal leads before. Evidence right there.
I mean, we just sort of sound butter, like we're defending the team, so whatever. It is what
it is. At the same time,
they choked it away.
I was not happy after that game.
The Habs were the better team, and I said in our group chat, as I'm pretty sure you guys did, that the Leafs were not the team that deserved to win that game.
No, they were lucky to get a point.
Yeah, they were.
That's what I said as well.
I hated that game because the Leafs quit in that third period. Again,
and they played really well the first 40.
The top line,
that's what was aggravating.
The top line didn't look good. Morgan Rielly and Cody Ceci did not look good. Like, nobody looked good. Nobody looked good.
If Cody Ceci wasn't producing at the clip he was right now, he'd be getting torn apart.
Yeah, how about the Leafs clearly winning the Cody Ceci trade 4 games into the season?
I don't know. People are turning on.
On that one pass, he deserved to win everything.
That pass. Zaitsev could never make that pass. Let's be honest.
No way. He would. He could never. Yeah, Zaitsev would.
He would have fired one low pad on the goalie for a face-off.
Okay, the other two games, the Leafs won those ones. They won a game 4-1.
They did a thing.
They did actually do that. And then the Ottawa game where the result that many of us expected.
Didn't look like it at times.
But, okay, so early impressions of the season for you guys. Jake, what's the one thing that stood out for you 4 games into the season?
I think they're deeper offensively. I think they've just been so balanced. I think all their lines have been relatively good. I've really been impressed with the third line. I think it's better than last year, even though they lost Kadri. Defensively, I mean, just having Tyson Barry is such a magnificent upgrade over anyone else, like over Jake Gardner or anything. He's basically like a more dynamic Jake Gardner who doesn't have as many turnovers. Probably has half, which is still a lot, but like... It was such a necessary thing for them to get an improvement back there. And something that has to be improved is obviously still the backup goalie. And it has to become November before Freddie starts to actually become good again.
So a couple of points. I'm going to jump on the Barry point. The one thing I do admire about Barry, if he turns over the puck, he's not like deer in the headlights and doesn't know what to do.
No, it's just nice having defensemen like him and Sandin and guys like that who the second a person is skating towards them, they don't just go, oh, shit, and try and throw it out.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, it is Sandin. We have been told it is Sandin.
Okay, Sandin.
So, like, Sundin.
There was a couple of plays that he's made in the zone where he's low. Guys kind of draped on him, and he does like that behind the back or between the legs pass to get it kind of to the four that's trailing down low in the defensive zone. Like that guy is very calm. Like he's not going to make the panic move. And I think that's what you're alluding to. Like you have less guys that are forcing plays that don't need to be made.
Yes, exactly. And I mean. I think they're going to go over 100 points again. And I mean, they've had a kind of a, I don't know. I feel like if I had to put a grade on it, they'd be a B minus. They just haven't been, you know, good enough defensively in certain situations. Like allowing that goal at the end of the second period was just a killer. Basically, if you allow a goal at the end of any, in the final minute of any period, it's like a big no-no.
No, I agree. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth. The other team's kind of like, all right, we got a goal here. Like, they go into the dressing room thinking, we still got this. Austin.
Because they were in complete control up until then, too. Yeah,
basically. Especially that third line was just so, it was buzzing so much. Mm-hmm. Like Montreal had no idea how to counteract that line.
And the power play, they actually were looking so dangerous. Somehow they only scored once. But, I mean, it was nice to see just some of the stupid behavior that they... Like, they were trying to play chippy. And that's the thing that annoys me. Like, I have no problem with guys, like, you know, pushing after whistles and stuff like that. But just doing, like, chippy bullshit is just annoying. Like, slashing people in the hands. Like, I don't know how Perron didn't get a penalty today with that, like, wicked slash right on Muzzin. When Muzzin, like, hit him a little late after the play, how they didn't at minimum take both.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of the refs are taking those when they're convenient. So, Austin, if you had to look at the last four games, you think the Leafs are more or less what they were in Columbus and even tonight, in a way, than they were against Montreal on Saturday?
I would say that this game was, other than the final score, there's not much to complain about with the Leafs. They played well. A couple decently not great goals on Freddie, but it is what it is. I don't know. The team's good. I'm not going to... I don't want to blow smoke too early, but...
you can just tell it's just going to be a long trudge to the finish line.
Yeah, they're not going to make it easy on themselves. They're not going to coast, but they won't be this team that's a fringe playoff team. I'm not saying that. I'm just... There are going to be some stretches where they're going to be really frustrating, and there are going to be some others where they are look like one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah, I think you're going to see the... It's almost like Boston, Tampa, and Toronto are kind of just... Going through the ups and like the ebbs
talk
and flows.
Talk about a crisis, Tampa. What?
So
what if they lost two games and Steven Stamkos is like calling the team out?
Did they lose two? I know they lost.
I don't
to
know.
Florida.
I just saw Stamkos in the news today. He called out the team and they've lost like one game. It's like, okay, guys, we didn't lose this many last year. What the shit?
I think they lost to Carolina and Florida.
Oh yeah, the overtime game where it showed you the
big old Jake Gardner.
So yeah, Jake Gardner scored the overtime winner. This was the one I sent.
No, it was Slavin. I watched it.
Oh, no, it was a different OT winner.
Oh yeah, Gardner had it. Gardner had it against who?
He scored against was it Montreal?
Sure.
No, Montreal. Think... That was a shootout.
That was a shootout. I think Carolina's won every game in overtime. It was the Capitals.
Yes.
Yeah, they've won every game in overtime.
So I'm looking for. Okay, I found the picture. So in this game, in that game, just so people understand where the Steven Stamkos criticism came from, Tampa Bay started the game pretty well, 11 shots on goal. The rest of the game, including overtime, two shots
like
on goal,
43-15 or something.
They had two shots the last two periods.
Carolina had more shots in the first period than Tampa had the entire game.
Yeah. I mean, that's a bit of their MO, but that's bad.
So Jake really Gardner did just need a change of scenery.
Yeah, maybe he did. I mean, that's the Leafs' next opponent, too, so it would be nice to get a jump on them.
Yeah, actually, Austin and I would have potentially have gone to that game if I didn't have to work on Thursday, so...
David, you're switching your shift. We're going.
It was one that I agreed to take because they needed someone, not the other way around.
But if they can get, like, a positive result, even a point... actually, it's at home. They should be able to get 2 points. They should easily win the next two games at Detroit and Minnesota. I mean, you have to get 3 points between those two games, or else it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Those are two of the worst teams in the league.
So I had also an opportunity to potentially go to Detroit for that game. which would have been fun. I actually want to go to see a game in Detroit with the new arena and stuff, so I had a chance to do that, but again, work. So I will miss that opportunity, but yeah. Detroit, even though they've won their, two games into the season, Mantha went absolutely, like, destroying the Stars 4-0 with 4 goals.
Yeah, it was great.
That Detroit lineup, it looks so bad that I think that's the team that should be picking first overall. It's going to be very interesting to see which team gets left.
I think it's LA. They look awful.
LA, no.
LA and Ottawa are just going to be in a tank fight when they play each other. Ottawa has, they've allowed like 10 goals in 2 games.
I mean, they allowed the hat trick to
Zibanejad.
The one other thing I wanted to point about Zibanejad, that tic tac toe play,
that was absurd.
That was the
I watched that live.
That was the nicest thing I have seen in a really long time in a hockey game.
Yeah, I was like, whoo boy.
It wasn't just the tic tac toe. It was so quick.
Yeah. No, it was. It was amazing.
I don't think I've seen a line get that chemistry right away like the
Zibanejad. That's a really good line too. They got 3 really good players on it. I have the Rangers. I mean, we haven't really shared predictions for anything, but I have the Rangers making the playoffs. They look like they can score some goals.
Well, we did some mini projections, like who would score the most points and who would make it to the Cup final stuff. But I mean, if we're really looking at like deep predictions, yeah, I like the Rangers. People were all over the Devils. I wasn't as crazy.
No, I wasn't. I mean, goaltending is just seriously a big thing. Like, they had a 4-0 lead on the Jets in the third period, and they lost the game. Like, I don't know how does that even happen?
Not only that, their depth. They have good front line guys, but behind them, their
defense is horrific.
Like PK Subban and who else?
It's basically PK Subban, Will Butcher, and that's about it.
Like that team, like I eventually could see with some patience and a couple more tinkers can get to that point. But
they need a goalie. I mean, or they just need Corey Schneider to be healthy, because the reason they lost that game was because he got hurt, and then they brought in whoever the hell their backup is, Mackenzie Blackwood. He got fucking shelled.
Not only that, I mean, the other thing when it comes to like a team like the Rangers making the playoffs and stuff like that, you need another team to take a step back. For me, it's Pittsburgh and the Islanders.
I think Pittsburgh is missing the playoffs. I think the Islanders are missing the playoffs. I don't have Montreal in the playoffs. I have 5 teams making the or 4 teams in the Atlantic. I got Toronto, Boston, Tampa Bay, Florida. And then in the Metro, I got the Capitals, Hurricanes, Rangers, and Flyers.
Yeah, I can see that. Austin, because you've been a little quiet.
I'm just enjoying my night, David.
Well, you're 49ers won, la-di-da-di-da.
Excuse me, there's still a minute and 23 seconds left.
David. You want to tell us the score of that game with a minute and 20-something seconds left?
34-3?
31-3.
Okay.
Shut up.
Let off the gas.
Anything can happen. But yes, the Niners are going to win, and I'm very happy.
We didn't get we got some predictions from you, but was there a prediction that maybe you want to share that, kind of like how Jake and I have been sharing?
Ron Hainsey for Norris?
That's not really that bold. Give us something bold.
Cody Ceci for Norris?
That's not either.
That's not good enough.
Nikita Zaitsev for Conn Smythe?
All right, you got to relax now. That's where I draw the line.
Where I draw the line is the fact that you said the Ottawa was going to make the playoffs if he's winning the Conn Smythe.
Hey.
It's so hard because the league is so balanced, but I think mine is Winnipeg and Pittsburgh not making the playoffs. I don't know.
Nemesnikov could be the guy that changes things.
I can't believe you look at Winnipeg, how much they've fallen the last this summer. You lose Buffalo.
People talk about the Leafs not being able to sign anyone. Winnipeg has gotten crushed. Like, let's just go through who they've lost. They've lost Bufflin. They lost Trouba. They lost Kevin Hayes.
Myers.
Myers. They lost, like, half their defense or more. Two-thirds of their defense.
They lost almost every right-handed shot they had. Every right-handed shot. Isn't Bufflin a right-handed shot? So Bufflin, Bufflin, Trouba, and Myers. All three of their starting, like, that's your right-hand shot right there. Then you have Morrissey, who missed the last game. It appears he's going to be fine. But it's like your team just got totally destroyed. I mean, I love how everyone's like, oh, Shovel Day Off. You know, he's really building a good thing there. And I'm like...
He is. Like, they have stocked the cupboards, but, yeah. I mean, they just got a kick in the pills this offseason, just losing so much. I mean, you can't do anything about Trouba. Like, Trouba, his wife wanted to go to, I think it was medical school in the United States, so...
Or didn't, like, she want to, like, didn't she finish school and, like,
she was going to med school in New York, so...
That's yeah, or so, something like that, but, I mean, pretty tough way to go out for that one.
Yeah,
they were hamstrung. Like, they got, what, their first back and Neil Pionk?
Who's
like, yeah,
okay, was, but he's not a good deal. He's not going to replace Trouba's production whatsoever.
No, not at all.
No,
he's not going to replace Trouba on the defensive end either.
No, not at all. Or physically.
No, it's just a mess.
So, and also, like,
you do the best of what you got.
So. This is a team that locked in a lot of guys. Like, you know, they had Scheifele locked in, Wheeler locked in, then they got cut. Then they got Connor and Liney locked up, and like, oh, the Leafs did this with their cap situation, like. The Jets are in a more screwed up position than the Leafs are in, guys.
Yeah, well, the issue with the Jets is it's like, okay, you trade away Trouba. Fine. You've got possibly Myers, and at least Buff is still here. Nope, Myers signs in Vancouver. All right, well, we've got Buff and Morrissey. Nope, Buff goes and wants to retire. Okay, well, shit, we've got Morrissey. Nope, he's injured. All right, well.
Like, they're starting. Aren't they starting a third-round pick?
Yeah. They're starting Vinny Hainola, who they took in the first round in June. And he's played 23 minutes two nights ago. Oof. As an 18-year-old.
That's a big yikes.
So. Yeah. And this is a guy that got taken, like, in the 20s. This isn't, like, a top-five pick.
Yeah.
This is a guy that should be breeding in Finland right now.
Let's also bring up the fact that well, nobody is able to play for the Jets. Apparently, nobody's able to play for the Leafs because Mike Babcock is doing this. First time I've seen in a long time that Mike Babcock's doing a rotation on the fourth line. So,
which is another stupid-ass thing.
So here we go. I'm bringing this up.
We're going there.
Home opener, guys. We are preparing for the Leafs to unveil their next captain. You know, everything's looking pretty good. Then you go to practice, and you see the opening, you know, the morning skate. The Lions are going to, the pregame lineup. And you notice a certain someone isn't in those line rushes. A certain guy from Mississauga, or actually more of like, yeah, Mississauga, Ontario, border, Etobicoke border. Grew up Leafs fan, home opener. Mr. Jason Spezza has been told he is a scratch. Boy, did that not do anything good for the Leafs.
As it should, though. Like, it's just such a stupid move.
It is.
It's like, really? Like, why?
For Nick Shore, guys. For Nick Shore, guys. There's
no explanation for it.
This is, okay, two problems with this. I don't have a problem if, like, a random game during the year you say, okay, you're 30, is he 36? 36, give you a game off, which, I'm sorry, when you don't toe the low with the line with Patrick Marleau with how bad he played last year, Jason Spezza is the guy you're going to make an example out of after he signed for $700,000 and Patrick Marleau's making six. That was my first problem. Dude. That was my first problem. Jason Spezza is a good pro, too.
He's not a good pro. Not a good pro.
I guarantee there were some words, and that's probably where Babcock's like, okay, well, then you're getting scratched. Like, I think that probably was part of it. Number two, to cite the penalty kill, I'm sorry, Were you going up against the Tampa Bay Lightning in game one of the season? You're going up
like,
against...
No, that's not even my thing. It's like, what, is fucking 2 days going to make that big a difference?
Oh, yeah, sorry. What did you like just have training camp for? What did they have training camp for if he can't, if he's not ready?
What was the point in Spezza playing in all those preseason games and getting, like, it's just such a cop-out excuse. If you would just come out and said, yeah, we're not playing him. Deal with it.
He's not okay. Good. He's not, we think he's not.
He's better. Not, he doesn't make our best lineup. Okay. I mean, fans aren't going to be happy with it regardless because we're looking for stuff to be upset about, but at least you're up front with us. Jason Spezza doesn't kill penalties. So why do you have him out there in the first place on the penalty kill?
You know what's the funnier thing? Our fourth line center did not kill penalties last year.
No.
Like,
just stupid.
So all of a sudden now your fourth line right winger has to kill penalties? That's where we're drawing the line? It's just the optics of it were so bad. He then comes in and I don't know, Columbus wise I can't remember how he did.
They played well the fourth line. They were at a couple of good shifts.
Yeah, and then
where they drove possession.
And see, like, it's a bigger slap in the face too that he's paired with Nick Pitan in this quote unquote shuffle. Like, you know, they go with like one line. Sorry, Goat is the constant, by the way. Frédéric Gauthier. Apparently, he's locked into the lineup after he showed so much in the time he's been around.
Let's be fair here. Goat has 2 goals in the first 4 games this year.
And one of them.
And his skating looks very good.
Okay.
I will give him the benefit of the doubt.
My response is one of the goals wouldn't have happened without Jason Spezza.
Yes.
Well, obviously.
So.
I mean, you generally, as a fourth liner, you need somebody to assist on your goals, but he also has to be in the right position to be able to score there.
I'm just saying.
I know, but
it's like you bring in a guy that you expect to be a good leader in your locker room, and you do that. It's like you hear guys bitch about Babcock, like Mike Commodore.
Mike Commodore. Mike Commodore is the only player that bitches.
No, there's been a couple of guys.
Thing with Mike Modano, I'm pretty sure that rubs him the wrong way.
Yeah, that was pretty shitty.
Where he had 1,499 games and he didn't play him.
Yeah. That's a dick move. Like, come on. Do you really want to be the coach that...
I just don't... It just doesn't make sense. Like, this is really the hill you're going to die on?
Absolutely.
Like, did Mike McDaniel say something so bad that you're just like, guess what, buddy? You're not playing 1,500 games. Like, is that what happened? Is that how petty things get? Like, somebody's saying, like, Mike Babcock is trying to turn into, like, Mike Keenan, where he's just looking for something to come out. Like, something like that. He's just looking for it. I'm like, what's the point? Considering how bad the narrative it was around him in the offseason and after the playoffs, like, why? You could have built up so much good faith and you go and do that. It was just so unnecessary. And look, it's the fourth line. It's not like he's doing it with, you know, a guy that's expected to be a top six guy. I get that. It's just, you know, clearly he was brought in, told, you're going to do fourth line. You might have to kill some penalties. He seemed to say that was fine, and then it's a problem. A problem that shouldn't be a problem. That's all I'm saying. It gets people aggravated for a reason that doesn't need to be aggravating.
No.
So now that we have vented that out, let's look at we're going to start doing this going forward, because the Leafs just finished a 4-game stretch. I mean, they finished pretty much their first week of the season, if we're going to go by that stretch. The next 4 games, so you've got the Lightning on Thursday, you got the Red Wings on Saturday, then you've got the
Wild.
You have a back-to-back, the back-to-back with the Wild and Caps, that was the other thing. Why the hell are the Leafs playing a back-to-back 3-game, like, in the first...
Man, some of the schedules have been ridiculous. Don't even think about complaining. Look at the New York Rangers
schedule. I was literally just about to say
that. The Rangers played on Saturday. Their next game is either Thursday or Saturday.
Jake, it's next Saturday.
No, it's Saturday, then the next one is Thursday. They play like two games in like 13 days.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Can we get a vacation Cabo in between that? Like,
I was wondering if it's their bye week, but I don't think it starts until at least a month in.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I don't even know. That's weird.
Yeah, I don't get how that's allowed. Like, look, you tell me that a team can't, like, the Leafs have a back to back, and the Rangers don't play a game until Saturday. You're telling me the Rangers couldn't play the Capitals on Wednesday? The Leafs have to play
Then once they play the Devils next Thursday, they have like six games in 8 days.
So stupid. And then they how does the NHLPA, sorry, the players don't
they
say
they have five games in 7 days?
Can the players not just go to the NHL like, God, this is stupid?
That's how injuries happen. That's when the next lockout comes around.
But that's a scheduling thing. That's like how does the CBA allow the league to do that?
I don't understand it.
Craft negotiating, I guess.
It's almost like with football now, where a team plays on Sunday, then they have to play Thursday. Like,
yeah,
it's not. It's I always say, the team that has the bye week should play the Thursday, then they can go and play the following Sunday. Like I don't get why the NFL and other leagues think that in a game where it's a violent sport, where violent physical contact is the main root of your game, and recovery is an essential part of it, that you do not give your players time to heal and rest, the appropriate heal and rest, I should say.
Mm. Yeah.
So that is a big, I don't know what's going on. Like, the fact that Leafs play two back-to-backs within a week is dumb. Especially,
you're going to have to play them anyway, but yeah, I don't know.
This early into the season? Come on.
I mean hopefully they take advantage of a bunch of rusty teams and they can bag a couple of points, because they'll probably need them for standings down the road.
Not only that, the Leafs are at least willing to experiment with guys going in and out of the lineup. They can do that a little bit more. Like, Justin Hall could probably play in one of the back-to-backs. You could have Timoshov and Shore come in and out. Like, right now, Timoshov and Shore should not be in the next game against Tampa.
Probably not now. Shore shouldn't be in there. Like,
no. Like, why do you need... Like, I would rather have Spezza, because then you got a guy on the peak and the power play. Because you know Tampa's going to take penalties.
Yeah.
Like, so... with that being said, the Leafs definitely have a chance to gain some ground in the standings. I'm just checking here. The Leafs right now, just overreaction to tonight, the Leafs are second in the Atlantic with 5 points behind the Wagon Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, they came back to get a point too. So, I mean, I'll believe it when I see them win a meaningful game past January. So,
they beat the Pits.
They still have, what's his name? Who's the goalie they have?
Carter Hutton.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they do have a heavy dose of. Oh, they have a West Coast trip. Well, that'll tell you a lot about the
which. Sanctuary. Well, what? Where on the West Coast?
They got Anaheim, L.A., and San Jose. They got the California road trip,
which isn't as hard anymore.
No.
I want to talk about rough starts. San Jose, they played Vegas twice. They got fucking blitzed.
Yeah, San Jose. I don't know what's really. I think they overthought the whole Pavelski situation. Like that
yeah, I still can't believe they let him go.
To Dallas. Like, not even to like an East team. No, let's let him go to the West. A team that almost beat you to go to the... Like, they could have easily been St. Louis in that first round. They could have been your opponent to go to the Cup Final.
Yeah, no. I don't know if they didn't offer him enough money or he just thought it was a better situation. I mean, I would have, I probably wouldn't have gone to Dallas, but I mean, it's Dallas isn't the worst situation.
Can I also say that they have a total of 3 goals in 3 games this season?
Yeah, that's not good. When Austin Matthews outscoring your team, that's not a good look.
Definitely not. So, as I always say, the Leafs are, I their situation's fine. I don't really have too much to complain about at this point because it's so early in the season. When we get into December, because really the issues that the Leafs had last season crawled into like late December, January. So that's where you can really say where this Leafs team is going. But so far there are encouraging signs. And hopefully, you can only hope that it will improve as these players get more accustomed to playing with each other. Gentlemen, any last thoughts before we end the podcast?
No, I can't really think of much.
Austin?
Go William Nylander.
Yeah. Free Willie. The 88 looks good on him, though, I will say.
Yeah, that is a lovely jersey number, regardless of the jersey.
I do like that number. Tyson Berry, 94, still working on that one.
Not a fan, but oh well.
Well, what other number he's going to wear? I think 24, you can't wear that.
I can't wear 44 because Mo's got it.
Mo's got 44. Number 4 is retired. So, like, there's not many that you can go with. Like, 34 is if you go with the 4s, 34 is taken, 44 is taken, 54 would look god-awful. And yeah, so 94 appears to be the more appropriate one. But yeah, and then jersey numbers, not really much to complain about, I guess.
Yeah.
With that being said, I would like to thank everybody for listening to the podcast today. You can subscribe on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, on Google Play. And you can follow all of our content on tipofthetower.com. We will have some... a little more of that coming out later this week when I am not trying to fix my backyard, which has been a bigger pain than I expected. Austin, we'll see more of that when the next time he comes up. Jake, hopefully you'll come up. You're coming up a lot more than I mean, obviously the last time was an unexpected
trip. Yeah, I always try and get up there, but we'll see.
Well, hopefully we get to get you one time this season. So we'll chat soon, gentlemen. Thank you everyone for listening, and we will get you the next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.